Well, before I begin, I'd like to say that I just love these two passages that we just read from Samuel and from John. These are great passages about being called, and I just love that theme. So that's what we want to talk about a little bit this morning. And one of my all-time favorite stories is about a man by the name of Robert Moffat. He was a Scottish missionary to South Africa. And one time he came back to Scotland in one cold winter to recruit helpers for his mission field. Now, he arrived at the church where he was to speak that cold winter night to find only a small group who had come to hear him. And what concerned him even more than that was that they were all women. Now, not that he had anything against women, but in those days, women were not expected to go to work as missionaries in the jungles of Africa. Also, his sermon was on Proverbs 8:4, "Unto you, O men, I call." And his sermon was intended primarily for a male audience. Well, in his anxiety, Moffat almost failed to see the little boy who was there to pump the bellows of the organ. No one volunteered to be a missionary that day, but the young man assisting the organist was thrilled by the challenge. He decided that he would follow in the footsteps of this great missionary. The young man went on to medical school and spent the rest of his life as a missionary to the unreached tribes of Africa. The boy's name was David Livingstone, one of the greatest missionaries the world has ever known. Have you ever heard the voice of God calling you? Now, I know we have to be really careful when we talk about God's voice calling us. Mark Chapman, the man who shot and killed John Lennon, claimed that he heard a voice telling him to do it. Be careful if you start hearing voices. They may not be from God. Young Samuel heard a voice. He was working for the prophet Eli, kind of like a young prophet apprentice. He was still a boy, perhaps 12 years old, but a boy whose mother had dedicated him to serve God. Eli's sons had proven unfit to follow their father's footsteps. And that's not unusual. Ministry is not something you can inherit. It's a calling. It's a vocation. Now, the word vocation comes from the Latin word vocatus, to summons or call. A voice is involved, a distinct inner voice that is difficult to ignore. Samuel heard that voice. He was lying down. It was early in the evening. He heard a voice. "Samuel, Samuel." And after some confusion, he did as Eli finally suggested. He answered, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." The voice of God spoke to Samuel, and another important chapter of sacred history began. Well, let's go back to my previous question. Have you ever heard the voice of God calling you? Has God ever called your name? Oh, I don't mean audibly, like the example in the lesson today, but have you ever heard God speak to you from inside, giving you a clear message? Or maybe a more important question is this: are you reasonably certain that right now, at this time in your life, you are where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do? That's a big question, isn't it? But maybe not as big as you might think, because you see, I'm convinced that every worthwhile endeavor in life is potentially a vocation, a calling from God. Now, it was Martin Luther who helped us to see that. Until Luther's time, Christian theologians understood work as punishment for sin. When Adam sinned, part of his punishment was that he should work. Not so, said Martin Luther. Luther saw a person's work as his or her calling from God. Before Luther, the word vocation referred only to a life in a monastery where monks spent their lives worshiping God. Luther proudly proclaimed, that the man who shoveled manure and the woman who milked the cow might be doing a work more pleasing to God than the monk who spent his day praying and reading the Psalms. After all, every honest job is connected with some human need. All of us have our special place in the universe, a reason for being, and a role in partnership with God. Did you ever think of your job like that? That you are in partnership with God? As Luther used to say, God milks the cows through you. Or today we might say, God programs the computers through you. Every worthwhile endeavor in life is potentially a calling from God. Sometimes it may be hard to see just how our job could be a calling from God. There once was a man who was eager to hear the famous chimes of St. Nicholas in Amsterdam. He heard they were the most beautiful chimes in the world. When he arrived at the church, he went up in the tower to watch the man play the chimes. Well, to his horror, he discovered the man struck the large keys with his hands encased in wooden gloves. It was nothing but a deafening discord of noise. The man who had been so eager to hear the beautiful chimes was rather disillusioned. Surely, he had been wrong about their beauty. Well, the next day, about the same time, the man was wandering on a hillside near the church. Suddenly, he heard the most beautiful sound he had ever heard. It was the chimes of St. Nicholas. He wondered if the man who played the chimes ever realized what a beautiful sound he was making for the people nearby. It sounded like only noise inside the tower, but to those in the surrounding area, it was incredibly beautiful. Some of us may have similar difficulty seeing the beauty in our work. We get so wrapped up in the daily grind that we don't ever think about the outcome or the results of what we do. All of us may experience burnout at some time in our life, the feeling that we're just spinning our wheels, wondering if what we do makes any difference at all. We can get that way sometimes. How could God possibly be in our job? Suppose, however, that there was no one willing to drive our buses, work in our fields, program our computers, design our buildings, prescribe our medicine, teach our children, fix our pipes. Think how much poorer our world would be. Every worthwhile occupation is potentially a calling from God. Now, many times the key to this lies in our attitude. In other words, sometimes our attitude toward our work is more important than the work itself. One great example of this is Otis Coles. For 32 years, Otis Coles was the bathroom attendant at New York's Club 21. In a newspaper interview, this is what he had to say. "I make the bathroom a happy place. That sounds funny, I know, but it is God working through me." Well, I believe Otis Coles is onto something. Any job can be a calling from God, even cleaning bathrooms. The question is one of attitude and commitment. There's an interesting story about an incident that happened in Borneo during the confrontation between Malaysia and Indonesia in 1964. A group of Gurkhas from Nepal were asked if they would be willing to jump from transport planes into combat against the Indonesians if the need arose. Well, the Gurkhas had the right to turn down the request because they had never been trained as paratroopers. The Gurkhas usually agreed to anything, but this time they said no. Next day, one of their commanding officers found the British officer who made the request. He said they had discussed the matter further and would be willing to jump under certain conditions. "Well, what are they?" asked the British officer. The Gurkhas told him they would jump if the land was marshy or reasonably soft with no rocky outcrops. Also, they wanted the plane to fly as slow as possible and no more than 100 feet in altitude. Well, the British officer pointed out that the planes always fly as slow as possible. But when dropping troops, however, he noted to jump from 100 feet was impossible because the parachutes would not open in time from that height. "Oh," said the Gurkhas, "that's all right then. We'll jump with parachutes anytime. You didn't mention parachutes before." Well, now that's commitment. That's commitment. Well, you've heard the saying maybe that goes, in a bacon and eggs breakfast, the chicken is involved, but the pig is committed. Think how much better off our churches would be, our jobs would be, our marriages would be, our communities would be with that level of commitment. Every worthwhile endeavor is potentially a vocation. Our attitude about and therefore commitment to our work is extremely important. And finally, our ultimate commitment is to God's kingdom and purpose. Our job can be a vocation if we see them as an extension of God's ultimate purpose for his world. Many years ago, I taught a series for my high school class on cults. In one video I showed them, the story was told of a young man who ran away from his conventional middle-class home to join the Unification Church. He became a Moonie. When asked why he did it, he said, "My father only talks about getting into college and getting a good job. Reverend Moon talks to me about helping him save the world." Douglas Hyde, in his book, Dedication and Leadership, writes about the contrast between communism and Christianity. From his days as a communist, Hyde testifies that the party appealed to newcomers because of the sacrifice and commitment that they saw in those already in the Communist Party. The party knew that it was bad psychology to ask for minimal commitment or small sacrifices. New members were expected to devote every area of their lives to the communist struggle. And that's the only example they saw from fellow members. By contrast, Hyde says, that the church often asks little, even though we have the real truth and a message worth devoting one's life to. We often seem afraid to ask people to make serious commitments or live sacrificial lives. Hyde notes that such a lukewarm Christianity cannot be expected to grip people's minds and hearts. There is something to that. If our jobs are only a means of securing wealth or passing time or achieving status, they may eventually be like a millstone around our neck. If, however, we see our work as an extension of God's plan for his world, each of us doing our part to clothe, feed, and teach God's children, and in 1,000 other ways help to make God's world a better place for all people, then you can get up every morning with enthusiasm, believing that you are heeding God's call to abundant light and life. And sometimes, yeah, sometimes, God may even call you to go on a mission to Mexico, El Salvador, Haiti, India, Uganda, or Guatemala. If that call comes your way, it will be difficult to ignore. And my hope and prayer for you is that you will respond positively. So, here's your action plan. The next time your alarm goes off in the morning, I want you to sit straight up in bed, clap your hands 3 times, and say in a loud voice, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And I guarantee you that you will have a much more interesting day. Samuel's role was to be a priest. Yes, some people are called to full-time Christian ministry. And if that's the case, then those people need to heed that call. But the rest of you have a calling too. Your workplace is a cathedral where you live out the good news of Jesus Christ and where you are an important part of God's eternal plan of abundant light and life. Have you ever heard God call your name? I hope you hear it every day. Amen.